Oh boy, welcome back to Planet Chaos. It is March 14th, 2024. Time is flying. I am back here. Crazy things going on, lots to talk about. I'm excited to be here with my partner in chaos, Rob K. How you doing, my friend?
Busy as usual, and Planet Chaos continues again to live up to its lofty goals. So we have measles breaking out. We got an eclipse. That now, I grew up when eclipses used to happen, it was kind of a fun thing. Now it's a national emergency. We've got all kinds of nonsense in the news. You got Don Lemon loses his show on X, but then Chris Cuomo, who's very, very questionable, has living through that in New York, and his amazing brother Andrew. We've learned a lot about that family. So, but he picks up a show, and then the airplane industry, as Captain Al always tells us, is pretty sketchy and continues to show signs of weakness. So there's a lot going on in Planet Chaos, Mel. But you had a great few days. We've been kind of out there speaking to the people.
Yeah. We went, we had a great weekend in Tulsa with great patriots there. And that was really fun. And then we came back. We spoke at Trump's golf course the other day on Monday with Mike Lindell and a bunch of other. Oh, yeah. We got some swag there.
We had a great day. The pillow from Mike. He was very happy. Yes. Very
gracious. Oh, yeah. Mike Lindell. And we have a great show with Mike Lindell. He's got breaking news. And so we did that. And then this is from on the screen now. That's me, Michael Yon, and Ann Vandersteel at an event in Florida in Stuart that was really fun. And we spoke there as well. Rob will tell you a little bit about some of the terrifying stuff that Michael Yon is talking about in a few seconds. And then on top of that, we've added some events upcoming. So please pay attention to our events page. We're going to be going around the country. If you would like me or any of the people you see on my show to come talk to you wherever you are in America, you let us know. We will be in, it looks like, all over the place. We'll be in Washington State. We'll be in Ohio. Well, it looks like we'll be in Burbank. I'll be going. I haven't been back. I lived for 20 years in L.A. I haven't been back since I left in 2014. So that's upcoming. We have
the West Coast. I think in Sarasota, we have something coming up in a month or so. So all of that will be updating the website. So please check the events. And it was great to see Mike in at the Trump International, which was supporting the Broward Republican Executive Committee.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great. That was a great event. And I wanted to also mention, Rob, we've been beta testing a live Q&A on Sunday nights. I call my Sunday night huddle because we have a great group of people. We have two options now because it's gone so well. So we have a private community we've started. We're going to talk a lot about today, the censorship, what's going on, things coming down the pike you should know about, the full track and trace surveillance we're entering into. So we found a great team that had their own server and everything. So you can sign up two different ways. This is private. It's secure. And it is on Sunday nights. You guys ask questions. We answer them. We're going to bring in a lot of our regular awesome people that we have on regularly, like Matt Arett, Mike L. I'm going to try to get Charlie Robinson and Craner and Luongo and all the great people we have. So that's on Sunday night. There's two options. Members at the Mel K Show Live. And then there's also, we're going to be starting on this Sunday on Locals. It will be live on Locals. We have not taken much advantage of the Locals in the past, and we have found that this is an amazing, amazing way to interact with all kinds of great patriots all around the country. They share their information, ask questions. Rob and I talk about all kinds of things. It's really, really fun. So please do join over there at Locals or at the Mel K Show members at the Mel K Show Live. Both are options. The live option is a private server, but that also is a 24/7 community we're building over there. You can connect with people in your area. We put up recommendations for books and documentaries, and everyone's interacting all the time. And then the melk.locals.com will be Sunday night live stream over there, 7 o'clock p.m. Join us. It is really a great way talk to you guys, but also for you guys to ask questions and also give information you have. So, and we're eventually going to find a way to have voice on there and all that. So please do consider joining that. It also helps the show continue. And on top of that, Robert.
Hey Mel, I just wanted to mention, Mel just actually finished a show with Mike Lindell. They spent almost an hour talking. He's got some really breaking stuff that he's going to be launching. He's got a Supreme Court case that he's putting in. And he wanted to emphasize how censored and how much under attack he is. So anytime you support Mike Lindell, you're supporting the mission for election integrity and for freedom for this country. It's not about Republican, Democrat, left or right. He made that very clear. He's just for free and fair elections. So go to MyPillow.com or our partners page. Use promo code MelK. That supports us and it supports Mike and his mission to save this country. Also, we mentioned that they're trying to stir up diseases all over the place. So we have some great partners on the partners page in the wellness space where you can get medical kits that include all the prophylactics and antibiotics and other things that will support you in case there's an issue. Obviously, they're planning this, this emergency eclipse, extravaganza. I don't know what they're trying to, gin up, but disaster preparedness is critical. And we have the Satellite Phone Store and other partners there that support a lot of things that you might need when either systems go down or power goes down. So make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter and make sure you support the show and support everyone that is doing independent journalism because that is under attack. And we appreciate you for supporting all independent journalism.
Yeah. And if you didn't see this past weekend, I had a special show I did with Ann Vandersteel and Michael Yon. They just came back from Panama. They have really important information to share. We just spent Tuesday night with Michael Yon in person. And he had a lot of things to say. I think, Rob, maybe you want to talk a little bit about what Michael Yon was saying about the supply chain when it comes to food.
Well, first of all, I mean, this is he's ex-military. He's been a war correspondent for, decades, right? And he's never seen anything like this. He is unapologetic and, very loud about the fact that we are under an invasion. This is coordinated, just like you talked about, Mel, years back about the NGOs and the funding of this UN globalist operation to flood all major countries with to break up language, borders, and culture, which is easier to control the population. One of the things he's particularly worried about is, the Chinese coming in mass, and these are all a lot of military age men. We've heard in Florida now, we have the Haitians, which I'm sure we let that country fall, and they're expecting a mass invasion, basically, I'll call it, from Haiti. And I don't think we're doing enough to thwart these things. He talked critically about the supply chain and what he was very, he's a student of history. And he said that food shortages have been a tool for power and elite to break down the masses and to create regime change. So if they wanted to create, the New World Order Agenda 2030 and bring in a global governance, what a great way then to create food, energy, and all kinds of shortages.
Yeah, he talked a lot about, he's very concerned that they're triggering a purposeful. He talked about it. He's been to all the major ports around the world in the last year. He's pretty convinced that there is a phase of this operation about famine. If you think back to the World Economic Forum and their polycrisis model, they've been talking about food shortage for quite some time. We also know about the buying up of our farmland. We had on a farmer this week. We're going to have another one on next week about what they're doing with cattle and tagging cattle and it's all kinds of craziness. But he was very, very adamant about that. He believes that there's a phase ahead that's going to include something similar to a famine. And then also Anne was talking about what they were finding down there at the IOM, the nefarious UN group that is manipulating all of this, is that Anne was talking particularly about when the money runs out for the migrants that are here. So we're hearing about the extraordinary amount of money that they're giving away, of course, not to people in our country or citizens that need it, but to the illegals. And I just wanted to remind you that the new language, we all saw Joe Biden in the, you know, his crazy State of the Union call, not only the girl that was killed, Lakin Riley, the wrong name, but then he also went on to say that she was killed by an illegal immigrant. Then the next day he had to come out and apologize, saying that it was a non-documented citizen or a non, this is a new language mode. Non-documented citizen is aligned with, again, I'll be talking about it today because nobody is talking about the globalist, what I call the private public partnership of the World Economic Forum and UN and their banking allies that I consider to be, or they consider themselves in my estimation to be the parent company of planet Earth. And we have our own, you know, division of the parent company of the United States right under them that have captured our entire government. But in the meantime, what they are talking about is that this is a coordinated attack worldwide that is creating these circumstances, and then to turn around and say, well, they're global issues, so they require a global solution. Therefore, they need global governance. We have a lot of things coming down the pike to really pay attention to. And one thing I did want to mention, if you guys have not seen it, because the news has been all over the place, we'll get into the TikTok and some 702 and some other stuff in a minute. Joe Biden requested a total of $7.266 trillion to fund the budget for 2025. The $7.266 trillion includes $900 billion for national defense, but clearly not national defense of our homeland, but national defense to some extent of other nations, apparently. $4.3 trillion for a range of programs, including Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. People are very, very, very nervous that there is no money in Social Security at this point. So I guess they're going to replenish that with fiat currency. And then $965 billion to pay the interest on the national debt. He signed a $460 billion spending bill into law to finance several government departments and agencies to avoid a shutdown due to insufficient funding. But those agencies, as you know, I believe most of them are unconstitutional and shouldn't exist. Yet we are paying for all of that. So that is really, really ridiculous. And it consists of $2.6 trillion over 10 years in additional spending programs, and also $4.6 trillion in tax increases over that same period. So
all of this, they're spending, they're just spending like drunken sailors. And this it points me to, you know, we got to protect ourselves, our health. We got to protect our food supplies, savings, you know, our basic protection, and we got to protect our wealth, because, you know, these people, they're trying to destroy our, you know, economic viability as a country. So, you know, just be, you know, be proactive in the way that you try to protect your sovereignty, your personal individual sovereignty.
Right. And I wanted to also mention on that front, the Biden regime just released $10 billion to Iran. They say of seized money in the middle of whatever's going on in Israel. They felt that right now is a good time to release that money to Iran. At the same time, they seized $300 billion over the last several years from private Russian companies and citizens and the Russian government that they are now going to be allocating, says Yellen. And then on top of that, they sent $300 million without approval to Ukraine, regardless of the spending bills. So you can ask yourself, well, where is this money coming from? And I would say it is not coming from anywhere, but very crazy stuff. There have been some good developments, so we want to talk a little bit about that, because I really do want to get into a bigger picture of all the things that we're talking about track and trace surveillance. You know, I believe that Agenda 2030 that Barack Obama signed on to in 2015 without the consent of the governed or explaining to anyone that it was a model for global governance, clearly laid out in the UN, a World Economic Forum partnership, public-private partnership of the multinational corporations, the international banking cartel, and all of the tentacles of the United Nations. Barack Obama did sign us on to that, and we'll get into that a little later with the Biden regime. doubling down and celebrating halfway to Agenda 2030 and how that fits in with the surveillance and what is going on at TikTok and everything else. I believe that they are all connected, and you will hear what I have to say about that in the second half of the show. But it turns out Andrew Cuomo has been subpoenaed by a congressional subcommittee investigating COVID-era handling of nursing homes. Rob and I were locked down in Manhattan. It was a surreal, crazy place to be locked down. People there were very all in. They had us on our roofs clapping at 7 p.m. every night, you know, during the lockdown. I also have said to everyone, the first time I realized something was terribly wrong during the COVID operation was when Andrew Cuomo came on stage with Bill Gates and Eric Schmidt, to me equally nefarious, of the globalist billionaire oligarchy running the parent company of America, and announced that they would be reimagining New York. That happened during the 2 weeks to stop the spread. But something else that happened was that Andrew Cuomo ordered for COVID patients to be put into nursing homes where the most vulnerable people are. Many of you that do still watch Fox, which I don't, but remember that Janice Dean, both of her in-laws died, her husband's mother and father, in that situation. There was also on March 23rd, we were in Manhattan. We were shut down on March 15th. We have a funny picture of me, Rob, and his brother being like, I guess that's it. This is the end of the road. But on March 23rd, Dr. Rick Bright initiated the restriction of hydroxychloroquine to hospital patients. And Andrew Cuomo issued an executive order. No pharmacist shall dispense hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine except when written as prescribed as an FDA-approved indication. And then went on to say that, and then after that came the, no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the NH, meaning the department, National Department of Health, nursing homes, solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. Nursing homes are prohibited from requiring a hospitalized resident who is determined medically stable to be tested for COVID-19 prior to admission or readmission. So as everyone knows, many, many people, they say up to 15,000 people died in those nursing homes. So it looks like that is back on the forefront.
The extraordinary thing about that was then you had the nurses doing the TikTok dance videos and things like that. I mean, that was such a psychological operation. It's extraordinary. Remember, they canceled all, you know, non like life threatening critical surgeries. Right. People were not going to the doctor. So
even chemo and dialysis. And I mean, and then remember, Rob, they were digging up what they were calling like no man's field and like burying bodies on the TV every night in New York. Our friend Nurse Erin, she did her whistleblower thing from that, I believe that was in Elmhurst Hospital.
Yes.
It was nuts in New York, right, Rob?
Oh yeah, it was insane. And like you said, it was like a movie. It was kind of like being on a movie set. I'll never forget that whole experience. And I was honored to be with you and fired up to get the information out because we were seeing it firsthand.
Yeah, that's when we started the Mel Kay Show, because I was obsessed when in my youth with a writer named Hannah Rent, and I had written a screenplay when I was a very early writer and on Eichmann in Jerusalem, the trial of Adolf Eichmann that Hannah Rent covered for the New Yorker magazine. And I'll tell you right now, right from the very beginning, it was that Cuomo press conference with Gates and Schmidt. And then right after that in New York, something crazy happened. Remember, Rob, that it was like all of our manhole covers were open and people were working underground in New York. We already had all the kiosks that were watching us, but they were putting up sensors supposedly 6 feet apart in Times Square. I mean, something kicked into overdrive in the track and trace surveillance of New York City at that time. A lot of the bodegas that went out ended up being Amazon to go or just still empty. So that happened. So we'll see what happens with Cuomo, if anything. And there were also Richard Levine, I believe at the time in Pennsylvania, is now Admiral Rachel Levine now running HHS for O'Biden, whichever you want to call her, him. was the did the same exact thing in Pennsylvania, if you recall. So she did the same thing at nursing homes in Pennsylvania. There was also Michigan, California, and other places. So let's see how that goes. I know those people whose families died in the nursing home, especially in New York, were showing up in droves. We now know that all of that was completely insane. Now, also another thing, Rob and I've covered a lot, and we know a lot of the January 6th defendants, a couple of the lawyers. They just arrested my friend Mike Baker recently, a journalist that was inside, actual journalist arrested. We know he's not the first, but this is recent. But now Barry Loudermilk, he's the oversight chairman, a committee on House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight. He released his initial findings on the oversight of January 6, 2021. And really, it is devastating to these people. Not that we didn't know that Nancy Pelosi's daughter was making a documentary that she was filming the night before, and not that we didn't know from all the dozens and hundreds of people that we have talked to along the way that were there or reporting on it, that it was a very, in my opinion, a manipulated situation. But now it has come out. Evidence has surfaced, as many people, including Kash Patel and others, have talked about the whole time. Donald Trump did order 10,000 National Guard troops to be there, and was rejected by Donna Brazile's wife, who is the mayor, Mayor Bowser of D.C., rejected Donald Trump, who was the president at the time's suggestion after he had gotten a briefing. Also, the Select Committee was designed to promote a political narrative, said the findings. Pelosi made the unprecedented decision to refuse to appoint minority members chosen by the majority to the Select Committee. You all remember that. That was Jim Jordan and Banks were rejected by Nancy Pelosi in lieu of, who looks like she's the mastermind, which wouldn't be surprising knowing where she comes from, Liz Cheney and the other Trump hater, the other guy, I can't even remember his name, I don't even care. They hired Hollywood producers to assist in primetime hearings. They refused to adopt rules allowing them to operate without limits to project their predetermined narrative to the world. Don't forget Norm Eisen and Benny Johnson, who, is that his name, Benny Johnson, who was the main guy with Pelosi. They had filed, using the KKK clause of some sort, that Donald Trump had committed insurrection that day before there was even a January 6th committee convened. So Benny Johnson, I guess that's his name, being on that committee was already not an unbiased, you know, person listening to evidence. He had already filed a suit with Wile E. Coyote to Trump's roadrunner, Norm Eisen, that Trump committed insurrection already before there was a committee. Cheney, vice chair, that was actually reserved for a Democrat, because it should have been two Democrats, but she got the vice chair. Obviously, she hates Trump, always did, as did her father. Pelosi appointed Cheney to the Select Committee. Obviously, Cheney also is behind what has now come out to be debunked, which is Cassidy Hutchinson. And I hope that she's okay, because Tony Bobulinski has also filed a lawsuit against her for lying. But it turns out that they had evidence from the Secret Service that her whole story, which was preposterous anyway, that Donald Trump jumped in front and tried to steer the beast to go to the Capitol. Well, no, Trump was never going to go to the Capitol, and that never happened. But it turns out that Liz Cheney had significant interactions with Cassidy Hutchinson as well, and that information was debunked and never presented to the public, as along with Trump asking for, it's Benny Thompson, who had filed a lawsuit with Norm Eisen that Trump did an insurrection on January 6th. Before they convened the committee that he was on, where he was supposed to be unbiased listening to evidence, which was a lie. But Thompson and Cheney were aware that Secret Service agents had debunked Hutchinson's testimony. They kept that from the final report. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie, she also was in touch with the Select Committee and asked for information and got information from the January 6th committee. And the worst of them all, which is probably the only thing that we can see any recourse on at this point is that they destroyed the evidence. So the January 6th committee, it appears, destroyed the evidence. And I also want to remind people that it looks like Nancy Pelosi, they're saying here, cherry-picked the evidence, created the illusion of what she wanted the outcome to be. And then on top of that, Mary McCord, who was one of the original Russia, she's been involved, frankly, in every single thing that has been out to get Trump to this day. Now she's at Georgetown, but she used to be in the Department of Justice. But it turns out that Fannie Willis likely met with Mary McCord, according to sources, and select committee staff before indicting Trump. So she was also using that. And it turns out that the a lot of the evidence and especially the recorded interviews are gone. And on top of all that, they are about to put an innocent man that we like a lot, Peter Navarro, in jail for saying that he would not betray Trump and he would stand by presidential immunity and not testify in front of this fraudulent committee that is going to be proven to have been behind it in many ways. So he's supposed to go to jail this week, a 74-year-old man who's never broken a law in his life other than supporting Donald Trump and really doing great things for our economy. And as the MAGA movement, MAGA was really Trump's economic plans. And Peter Navarro was behind the great prosperity we had up until.
I just want to say about Peter. I mean, he's been fighting like a dog. I mean, he's just
crazy.
And, you know, he's been an economics guy, a geopolitical strategist. And, you know, he's on the front lines, just like Mike Lindell, just like, you know, Donald Trump and many others that we know. So, you know, we got to support these guys because they're taking the first shots. So if you can find your way to support any of them, it goes a long way because these guys are trying to lawfare the front line of resistance to extinction. So let's, you know, that's what we're here to do. We're here to, you know, make sure people are rallied and understand who the enemy is and focus their, if you will, their energy and ammo on the right causes. So thank you.
Yeah, and though it's very difficult, apparently you can't charge people in the government with criminal offenses. I didn't know that. I don't know if that's true. But I do know that you can charge them with obstruction of justice. And so it is confirmed that they destroyed, deleted records, hid evidence, and deleted interviews, recorded interviews, before anyone could see them. So big trouble for the January 6th committee. Hopefully they will be held accountable because nothing can ever take away or take back the damage that has been done to hundreds of people around this country by this political hit job to try to frame Donald Trump as an insurrectionist and also to try to keep their big lie going that the 2020 election was on the up and up, which everyone in America, whatever side you're on, you could even either say that it was rigged that day. Or, as Molly Ball told us after, as they did a victory lap, it was fortified by $500 million from Zuckerberg and Weiss and Hansberg Weiss, a foreign national, George Soros and his friends, all the Arabella Partners folks, all the lawfare, whatever the case may be. There was many reasons for January 6th to happen the way it did, but God willing, we do get the truth and that these people in the January 6th committee are held to account. But again, we move forward. Turns out also, if you have not heard yet, six of the charges against Donald Trump and his co-defendants in the fraudulent Georgia case, which is completely ludicrous on its merits alone. But so Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee has quashed six charges of the indictment, including about the Raffensperger phone call that Trump did not. We all listened to the phone call. They kept trying to make it like Trump was telling them to find ballots, but that's not what was happening. Trump actually had information and was saying to Raffensperger, who we just talked to Mike Lindell thinks he's the biggest of all the villains of 2020, but that Raffensperger was fully aware that what Trump was talking about. And don't forget, many people have paid the price in Georgia, including Rudy Giuliani being bankrupted by a lawsuit by the women that we saw pulling out suitcases full of ballots on camera. But apparently Giuliani is in trouble for defamation for saying that. We are in crazy times in America. Before we move on, I wanted to mention also the Alvin Bragg ridiculous case is starting in New York. This is what the third case there. This one is about a it's this lunatic, angry, vengeful Michael Cohen. A lot of people we know see Michael Cohen around New York City. The New York City folk that hate Trump, that loved him before 2016, treat this guy like he's some kind of hero. But he's been caught lying under oath and many other things. He's the main Alvin Bragg's so desperate he's bringing in Michael Cohen as the key witness in this, which will be interesting. But anyway, they secured a grand jury indictment in March 2023 around $130,000 payout to porn star Stormy Daniels in 2016. Bragg's theory is that Trump's failure to disclose the payments to Daniels, which went through Michael Cohen, and it is said through Michael Cohen's own bank account, but that'll come out in court, hopefully. But that that the payment to Daniels affected the 2016 election somehow, but noted that under campaign finance laws, Trump did not have to disclose the payment prior to the election. Needless to say, the New York City jury, that has already made him pay $96 million to this woman who has no idea what date that she was preposterously raped, which she wasn't, which wasn't proven, but people keep saying it. She has no idea when that happened or any of the details, but this jury in New York awarded her that. So we don't know what could happen. But basically, the president is being charged by law to enforce this. They're saying that this $130,000 violated campaign finance laws. But again, Rob, what is this? This is novel legal theory. Again, folks, coming out of the same Weissman-Eisen team that is riding above in the fifth column in America right now, funded by people like Brookings and States United and Just Security, that are writing all of these novel legal theories and then handing them down to these subpar prosecutors, Letitia James, Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg, Jack Smith. Jack Smith also, a bunch of former attorney generals are saying that the Jack Smith case itself is fraudulent because Jack Smith was unlawfully appointed as a special counsel. So Trump has to go through this again with Michael Cohen there trying to get his vengeance on Donald Trump. Another thing people should know is that Stormy Daniels signed a letter saying that she never had sex with Donald Trump. So on top of that, it could possibly be, I don't know, a shakedown. And then, Rob, wasn't there a decision where she lost a defamation case or something against Trump? And not only did she have to lose, but she had to pay Trump's legal fees. And yet they're still going back into court. And I guess the New York City taxpayers are fine. I don't understand.
Well, I think, yes, that is true. And I doubt he got paid anything from that. But this is all about narrative control and about, tying up. When you're in a legal case, I mean, you have to be prepared. You have to be paying your lawyers, and it takes, everyone's brain can only do so much in a day. So this is their strategy, and you explain that very well in the way that they lay out how they're going to, interrupt his ability to be effective. Part of that is, hamstringing his ability to be effective. And part of that is the narrative control so that the masses, reading the headlines, don't see what's really going on. So that's what we're dealing with. It's mind wars, at a military grade level, as you talk about often.
Yeah. And we also, saw this week, a special counsel, Robert Hur, was testifying in front of Congress and basically saying that not only did Joe Biden, we have the documents case we'll talk about in a second with Trump, which is falling apart as well. And that 739 charge is ludicrous as it is, as we talked about last week. But there were transcripts released, and then Hur was questioned. Some of the things that came out of the transcripts were that Joe Biden couldn't remember when his son died, or when Trump was elected. It came out that his ghostwriter that he shared, he had an $8 million book deal and a ghostwriter that he shared classified documents and other things with, that the ghostwriter, after the special counsel was appointed, erased evidence on a massive scale. We also found out that that her found many reasons to believe that Biden violated all kinds of laws, and certainly way worse than anything that they are insinuating Trump did. And this went on not only when he was a senator, but when he was also vice president, a private citizen, and now he's the president. But it came out basically that everything that they are charging Trump with, he did tenfold. But at the same time, the reason not to charge, though, I believe, Rob, that this goes back to the Holder collateral consequences way that right. they, I think, also did not charge Hillary Clinton with the server, that these people in the Department of Justice that are totally political operatives, even more than that, intelligence operatives, as far as I'm concerned, and protecting the institutions instead of the oath to the Constitution and the people. I believe this is a collateral consequences choice where they said charging Biden would have too many collateral consequences, so we're not going to charge him. But apparently they're saying that because of his diminished faculties, elderly and forgetful, that her didn't think he could get a conviction. And because he was so wishy-washy and all the answers were so nutty, that a jury wouldn't convict him. Again, everyone recalls when it was James Comey saying that Hillary Clinton broke the law multiple times, but that he didn't think a jury would convict them. That is not the legal system that we know about.
Right. This is really important. I just want to kind of quickly summarize, which is that they create. So first of all, they control a lot of the levers of power and the judiciary in the justice system, the policing system, whether it's the FBI or DOJ or others, and the legislature, you know, the senators, the congressmen, and they come up with these novel legal theories, which allows them to spin a narrative. And then they say that, like you said, that by charging Biden, you know, they could go so far as to say, well, you're really impacting the credibility of the U.S. government. And so we don't want to do that. It's too dangerous to do that. But as you say all the time, for reasons of national security, is not about national security. It's about protecting the institution. We've heard that many times from our friends, whistleblowers in the FBI. We've heard that from some of the from like Zach, Google whistleblowers. So this is a massive RICO conspiracy to manage the narrative and keep their agenda 2030 on course.
That's what I believe. And also to protect the institutions, not the people, not the Constitution, and not the rule of law. It is all about protecting themselves at this point, as I will get into a little bit more. But I did also want to say, why don't you play that video for anyone that didn't see her testimony? It is pretty shocking how much, I mean, I felt bad for this Robert Hur guy, because I'll tell you right now, he found a lot of criminality. And the Hunter Biden, I mean, the scariest part to me is that the Biden Center at University of Pennsylvania, first of all, we don't even know what's at the University of Delaware. Okay, because he has a whole bunch of stuff there. Everyone knows. Nobody knows what it is. Nobody's been allowed to see it. It wasn't included in this. But at the University of Pennsylvania, where he has the Biden Center, which he keeps claiming that he was a professor there. No, it was like one of those things you get when you walk on stage. It's like an honorary professorship. He never was a professor there. And he actually says that in speeches, that he was a professor. But I do want to say that the Biden Center, where they found a lot of these documents, is funded by the Chinese Communist Party. And that should be an issue, because other things keep coming out about not just about Hunter Biden and CEFC and the Communist Chinese Party and his relationships with a bunch of different people in the Chinese Communist Party. But the Chinese Communist Party funded the Biden Center, where these classified documents, some of them were also the classified documents, were shown to the author, who then deleted stuff after this. So these are all kinds of crimes. But why don't you play that clip real quick, and then we'll go forward.
Mr. Hur, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, in his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
All right. And the elements of the crime for this, I mean, we get into all of this, but the elements of the crime are pretty simple, right? The president, or President Biden, had unauthorized possession of a document writing or note. That's
correct.
And that the document writing or note related to national defense.
Correct.
And that the defendant, and we may talk about the willfully part here in a second, retained the document writing or note and failed to deliver it to an employee or officer entitled to receive it.
Correct. There is a willfulness intent element, as you say.
And but those are the elements of the crime.
Including the intent element, yes. Yeah.
And there are at least two different quotes, right, where he told his ghostwriter, and this is in your report, in a matter of fact, and this is February 16, 2017, that he had just found all this classified stuff downstairs.
He did make that statement that was captured on an audio recording.
And on April 10th, 2017, Biden read aloud a classified passage related to a 2015 meeting in the Situation Room.
That is in the report, yes.
And these are national security documents. Afghanistan, I mean, has been mentioned a whole bunch of those things, right?
Correct.
And at one point in time, his personal attorneys and the DOJ attorneys argued about notes, taking all of the different things and compared it to Reagan.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Congressman?
President Biden's attorneys, personal attorneys, talked about the notes and why they didn't actually account for the Presidential Records Act. But you, you found that argument in your report. It seems a little persuasive, but you eventually said no, the executive order trumps, right?
We did set forth an analysis of the governing law and ultimately concluded that the executive order 13526 does apply and did govern former Vice President Biden at the time.
So you have audio recording from his ghostwriter where the president acknowledges that the information he has is classified and he's sharing with his ghostwriter.
We have an audio recording capturing a statement from Mr. Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2017, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote.
And then again,
Wow. I mean, come on.
The other part of that, there was another section of that. It may have been another clip where basically, because Biden said that he never had classified documents and he didn't share them and whatnot. And so he asked him, so he lied. And he said, well, he didn't tell the truth. And he said, well, that's called lying.
Right. That was Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz, if you guys didn't see Matt Gaetz questioning, it was excellent. But the crazy part is that then today, Rob, they're down there in Florida on Trump's documents case. And, they're going to push, they're going to say that Cannon, the Judge Cannon in Florida, first of all, they did the entire case with all of the work that Jack Smith did on this fraudulent, it's not even real, the Espionage Act that they're using and the 739, we've covered on other shows that case. But they did all the legwork in D.C. and then moved it at last minute to Florida, where Mar-a-Lago is. So Judge Cannon happens to be a Trump appointee, so they're acting like she's not being, like she's on Trump's side. But you know what? She's starting to say out loud what everyone's thinking, which is, this is arbitrary enforcement. She said the word arbitrary enforcement several times today in the Trump case. It says, Julie Kelly reported, Cannon hammered the fact that no former president or vice president has been charged under the Espionage Act for taking and keeping classified records, including national defense information, which represents 32 counts against Trump in the Jack Smith indictment. So she also talked about the vagueness of the Espionage Act and protection under the Presidential Records Act. So she has this all in front of her in light of what we just saw with Robert Hur. So it's very hard at this point for them to act like they're not maliciously prosecuting Donald Trump based on a political hit job at the end of the day. And don't forget, they are also going under the crime is willful retention. You know, they were talking about willful in that of national defense information. And also that 793 charge, the general allegation of superseding indictment are realleged and fully incorporated here. It's willful retention of national defense information, USC 793. Well, that wasn't intended to pertain to a president, by the way. He also still has the immunity case in front of the Supreme Court. So keep an eye on that. But I did want to remind people, since we are talking about these documents cases and juxtaposing them, what the documents case is about for Donald Trump. So when they went to Donald Trump's estate at Mar-a-Lago, Trump was in the middle of working with, first of all, he was under the impression that the stuff he took was okay because they went through all this. But it was only after a while, Trump had already returned stuff. He was under the impression that because he had declassified things and he had the ability to do that, that he took stuff with him. So it was not until they showed up at Mar-a-Lago that he really even realized that anything was going on. And the Presidential Records Act, the presented pretext for the document conflict, is not a criminal statute, but the FBI raided him anyway on behest of the National Archives. This would be a DOJ NSD warrant. Don't forget what I've told you before, that part of the unconstitutional shouldn't exist fourth branch of the government known as the intelligence community that was spawned out of the unconstitutional should be repealed Patriot Act. Holder and Obama created a division of the Department of Justice, the National Security Division. Well, that's where the warrant for Mar-a-Lago came from. And also, don't forget, it was also Holder is also from that collateral consequences memo, but that was when he was under Clinton. But it sure does seem that a lot of things were put into place, especially with Holder's fingerprints on them, that politicized and weaponized the Department of Justice. But going forward,
you know, they wanted to show that image. It's like a perp walk. It's a shock value. It's clips they can use because they're masters at narrative creation and narrative control. And so that's what people will see. And you won't, you know, the other side, they like, we don't do that. You know, maybe we should do that more, but, you know, on the other side, they clearly love those clips.
Yeah, and I also want to remind people that Donald Trump declassified a lot of documents that he took with him, and he had the right to do that, and he honestly had the right to take these documents, but they were declassified. There is actually a memorandum on January 20th, 2021, Chief of Staff, I guess that would be Mark Meadows at the time, Privacy Act review of certain declassified materials related to FBI Crossfire Hurricane investigation. So I just want to remind everyone that the documents that they are claiming, first of all, they haven't told Trump's defense team what documents Jack Smith is claiming are the classified documents that they took. So that's the whole thing. We just saw that a few weeks ago, Matt Taibbi and Schellenberger and their team said that there was a binder that everyone was looking for. But the two sets of documents that I believe that they are talking about are documents that highlight the activities of Hillary Clinton's team in creating the false Trump-Russia conspiracy theory nonsense 2015-2016 and in the campaign season. And then the other documents that appear to be that he declassified and that they are claiming are classified seem to be from Crossfire Hurricane and the Weissman-Mueller report. So both of these sets of documents actually have evidence of criminality of our own government and the fourth branch of government that shouldn't exist, the intelligence community, who were involved in all of that, and the rogue Weissman-Mueller team, who knew that the Mueller report team was fraudulent because they knew that the Crossfire Hurricane was fraudulent because it's come out that the CIA, through John Brennan, was bumping people months before Crossfire Hurricane was launched to set up the precedent. So we do have to really hone in on what exactly were they looking for at Mar-a-Lago? What classified documents is Jack Smith talking about? Does Donald Trump have presidential immunity? And did he declassify the documents that now they're saying were classified? Also, that this came through that one division, but also the National Archives. And again, like Judge Cannon said today, this has never happened before, and there are presidents going all the way back. And can all of those presidents be held accountable as well? Then the other thing about the documents case we should keep in mind is that a lot of the from all of this, you can extract that Donald Trump had filed a lawsuit, I think most of you remember, that was dismissed and shouldn't have been, and I hope it comes back, in March of 2022. The lawsuit was filed against specific persons that colluded and conspired in Crossfire Hurricane and the Russia collusion in spying on Donald Trump. And people named in that lawsuit were Hillary Clinton, Hillary for America, DNC, Perkins Coie, Michael Sussman, Mark Elias, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, John Podesta, Jake Sullivan, Robbie Mook, Fusion GPS, all the people involved, all the players, Bruce Orr, Deschenko, Strzok, Page, Kleinsmith, McCabe. That case was thrown out, but you can believe that pretty much the documents that they were looking for at Mar-a-Lago might have had something to do with that. I don't know, Rob. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, I mean, they, you know, the amazing thing is that they spun this narrative to the American people, knowing full well that they were lying. You know, it was whole cloth. There was not even a shred of reality in the narrative that they were creating. And then they would go on and on and on TV and on social media and just support this, you know, this distorted narrative to try to create an illusion for the people of America and the rest of the world that there was questionable activity within the Trump administration. And we have come to learn, have known for a very long time, but now it's coming out more broadly. And I think that's the most important thing, is that all of this is showing up and people are realizing that we are all victims of this, you know, this deep state globalist organized hit on freedom and you know, I'll call it democracy. It's not democracy, but it's you know, I'll use their word. You know, they are attacking, you know, the things that are most
democratic
important
to America.
Yeah, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They don't care about that.
No, they don't care about us at all. And the other thing is that I think it might be related to this. You just brought up something important, being on the news every day. Adam Schiff is right now running for Senate. I don't think that this is an accident. Adam Schiff is right. First of all, you have to. My assumption is that the entire three branches of government that are supposed to be representing we the people are fully and totally captured by what I call the parent company of the United States that's running the country right now. I believe the IC, which is the fourth branch of the government, the unconstitutional that was spawned from the unconstitutional and awful should be repealed Patriot Act, that group of people that were like, so what came out of the Patriot Act? DHS, TSA, DNI, then you put the FBI, DOJ, DOJ, National Security Division. That group is all working to protect the institutions and have captured the other three branches of government. And they're the full track and trace surveillance we'll get into in a minute. But on top of that, so Mitch McConnell says that he's stepping down. Then he's going to put the guy that he's been grooming for that position, Thune, in his place, or he'd like to. Schumer and McConnell are obviously on the same team. It's an entire uniparty, and they're working for the parent company that runs America, the public-private partnership running America. So that's the situation there. But remember, Adam Schiff is running for Senate, and all these people are protecting themselves. They're protecting the Crossfire Hurricane. They're protecting the Mueller nonsense. They're protecting the two fake impeachments. And all of the persecution now are from the same team. Weissman, Eisen, and McCord and that whole same team are running this whole operation against Trump still. But what we have to do is wonder, so Adam Schiff's going into the Senate. Why? Don't forget that the Senate Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence is run right now by Warner, who is telling us that there were Russian space lasers and that we needed to send money to Ukraine immediately, not too long ago after finding out that he was just in Ukraine. Mark Warner is running that right now. So there is some suggestion that they want Schiff to get into the Senate and then to put Schiff as the gatekeeper of the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence to then continue this going down the road and have Schiff in there to again obstruct any semblance of us finding any accountability in the Crossfire Hurricane, Mueller, Clinton, all of the treason and sedition of spying and undermining a sitting president. So we'll see what happens there. But if you are in California and you are not out there fighting with every ounce of your being to make sure that Adam Schiff does not get into, then I don't know what you're doing. And I understand. We just talked to Mike Lindell. Be pushing for no machines. Be county by county, whatever you can do. But Adam Schiff winning that Senate seat, I believe, is very dangerous, more dangerous than he's already been all this time. So I did want to talk about that for a minute. Now, I do want to jump to something else that I think is very important and a little bigger. Now, Rob, you've been following the TikTok ban bill. I see two sides of it. I saw out there certain people like Tim Pool and these the popular Twitter celebrities, the big celebrities out there that get that commentate the news, have been debating this this bill. Raheem is thinks everyone's an idiot for not wanting it. Rand Paul and Tucker Carlson and Ron Paul and these libertarians, Massey, they say it's a Trojan horse. Lots of different things going on. What's your take on this TikTok bill from what you've been following? Because I've been following the data side of the TikTok bill.
Well, one of the things I thought was really powerful, Tucker did a piece today, and it included Rand. And so the narrative is that, you know, we're protecting the Americans from the CCP via this TikTok ban. But what I thought was interesting is that, well, if we're really trying to protect ourselves from the CCP, we would protect our food and our farms, so we wouldn't be selling our farmland to China. We would be protecting domestic energy. We wouldn't be using the Green New Deal to manufacture all our energy with products that don't work coming from China. Would be protecting our water, our communication systems from companies like Huawei, which I think Trump tried to ban and then was brought in. We would be protecting our economy by not outsourcing everything to the to China. We'd be protecting our education system from Confucius Institutes and right. the you know, all of that medical you know, products. Scientific, we had biolabs that were working with China, foreign policy, you know, working, you know, talking about supporting Taiwan when, you know, we have issues at home. So, you know, there are so many things that we could be doing to protect the American people from the influence of the CCP. None of that is the case. What they are doing is they're further reaching into free speech. Free speech means people say things that you don't like. And if you don't like it, don't listen to it, turn it off. So, yeah, we must protect America, but not at the extent of, you know, limiting our free speech or limiting our ability to protect ourselves and our homeland.
Yeah, you know what I look at here, though, more than anything else of all of this is the, you know, I'm very, very focused. I firmly believe that the parent company that runs the United States, which would be globalist billionaire oligarchs that fund all the NGOs that we talk about all the time, but certainly BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. So Larry Fink, who's really, you know, the at the top of the heap over there at the World Economic Forum, a partner of the CCP, Council of Foreign Relations, ESG score king, and his friends Soros and Bezos and Gates and the Rockefellers, the parent company of the United States, Omidar. There's a lot of people in that group, just not the American people. And above them, the fifth column, you know, multinational law firms and think tanks and all them that work with them and their lobbyists. What I think about this bill, and I think this about everything, is that the data of our, I believe right now the biggest threat to the American people and frankly the people all over the world is not only Agenda 2030, but our privacy. We are losing our privacy on a massive scale. We have no privacy right now, and I wanted to just talk about that a little bit. And first and foremost, I do want to, before we get into even that level, you know, Judicial Watch found that the CIA was deployed on January 6th. We're not sure to what extent, but they have found out that they were definitely involved, and dog teams were sent to D.C. on January 6th from the CIA, and that's a developing story. Mike Benz and other his team over there at the Foundation for Freedom Online, and Stephen Miller, who I would like to see as the Attorney General of the next Trump administration. But Stephen Miller has gotten his hands on a USAID, which a lot of people say, like National Endowment for Democracy, is a front group also connected to the CIA. Right now, it is being run by the Queen of Obama's United Nations, you know, representative, and the Queen of the Color Revolution, regime change and interventionists, responsibility to protect, Samantha Powers, running USAID, which a lot of people say is the money that creates that goes into countries all over the world and puts in puppet governments and manipulates foreign nations with billions and billions of dollars at their reach. But came out, USAID internal documents reveal government plot to promote censorship initiatives. This came out today. USAID, Samantha Power running it, Center for Democracy, Human Rights. Human rights. I'll get into human rights in a second because they don't get to define them, but that's a whole other story. The USAID Democracy, Human Rights, and Governance Center created an internal disinformation primer that revealed that the agency's explicit praise for private sector censorship strategies and proposed additional censorship practices. USAID censorship proposals were aimed at influencing private sector technology companies, public-private partnership, as I talk about a lot, that has a lot to do with the parent companies running America and the world. So this would be private sector technology companies, media organizations, education ministries, national governments, and funding bodies. USAID endorsed advertiser outreach for the purpose of getting corporate advertisers to financially throttle disinformation media, disfavored media sources and social media accounts. It sounds a lot like the Democracy Matters, a document from Crew and Media Matters, Brock and Eisen from 2016. USAID recommended Google's redirect method and pre-bunking as potential solutions to stop erosion of traditional media influence on citizens' hearts and minds. This sounds like this is what they do in foreign countries, USAID and NED and CIA, like i.e. Ukraine in 2014. USAID proposed targeting gamers and gaming sites, pushing the need to censor their formation of interpretations of the world that differ from mainstream sources, and interrupting the process by which individuals contribute their own research to collectively form their own populist expertise. I guess that's why I'm so throttled and can't grow beyond 25,000 on Twitter. But this is pretty, pretty damaging and destructive, because guess what, folks? This is your taxpayer dollars paying to silence you, to censor me, censor everyone that does what I do. But it goes on. This is really, really disturbing. So USAID, the foreign-facing wing of the federal government that purports to use taxpayer dollars for strengthening resilient democratic and exporting American democratic ideals abroad, has been quietly pushing private sector technology companies, media organizations, education ministries, national governments, and funding bodies to adopt social media censorship practices, according to newly revealed documents. America First Legal got these documents. This document will be on the MelKayShow.com resource page under Opposition Playbooks after the show. It is a 97-page document called A Disinformation Primer from the Center of Excellence on Democracy, Human Rights, and Governance. It goes through, all of these different ways to protect people from disinformation. It outlines many, many strategies that people can use. It says that USAID Primer includes a list of recommended approaches for civil society organizations, NGOs, think tanks, nonprofits, and mainstream media to take action against disfavored speech online. USAID recommendations openly promote a well-established tactic of the censorship industry, financial blacklisting. The USAID Disinformation Primer references advertisers 31 times in the 97 pages, like we've seen what happened with Elon Musk and that group that was trying to get all the advertisers to leave Twitter when Elon Musk brought it. They have a whole description of advertiser outreach as well. They have a whole section, cutting the financial support found in the ad tech space would obstruct disinformation actors from spreading messaging online. It also goes through to say that democratic societies rely on journalists, media outlets, and bloggers to help shape local and national dialogue. Because traditional information systems are failing, some opinion leaders are casting doubt on media, which in turn impacts USAID programming and funding. So they need to turn that around, because according to USAID, that it can interfere with civic society and distort public engagement, exacerbating polarization and social fracturing. USAID goes on to calling for the decline of traditional media, a loss of information integrity, presenting the censorship concept of media literacy, which we've talked about many times with the fraudulent fact checkers like NewsGuard and others and the Poynter Institute. Media literacy, UNESCO also, that would be Agenda 2030, UNESCO disinformation commission over there. And it also goes on to say a loss of information integrity leads to online news platforms have disrupted the traditional media landscape. Government officials and journalists are not the sole information gatekeepers anymore. As such, citizens require a new level of information of media literacy to evaluate the veracity of claims made by the internet. Obviously, it
basically
goes on.
What they're saying, they're saying is that they're losing the narrative. They got to do something about it. I mean, this really pisses me off because, I mean, I don't like people telling me what to do, what to say, what to think. Okay. I'm going to make my own decisions and I'll live by those and I will do my best to support them. And if I'm wrong, I will recant and I will learn from that. But the government telling us what to say, think, or do in any way, especially when we're talking about critical issues that affect, you know, the global, the whole, world. I mean, these people are absolutely a psychopath. They're insane.
Yeah. And anything that anyone that's Googled, we did it before the show, me and Rob, the producer, before the show, I Googled something. He was looking at my computer with me, and every single entry is a trusted news source, according to Google. And again, Google, in this USAID document, it talks about the Google redirect method, where if you Google something, it'll redirect you to information. It says this, that similar efforts to psychologically influence the public to preemptively protect and psychologically inoculate individuals from digesting disfavored information or redirect them to more favorable content. This is something that Mike Benz has covered as well.
To who?
To the globalist billionaire oligarch that is running the parent company of our country. And Google is a partner of theirs. But again, the redirect method takes you basically when you look up something, like I said, it's only Google and World Economic Forum, UN, UNESCO approved sources at this point, basically government controlled media. But this also includes in this they are recommending. I don't know if everyone had seen the Twitter files, but this has a lot to do with also the Hamilton 68 was exposed in the Twitter files. This is also recommending tools from the German Marshall Fund's Hamilton 2.0 dashboard, which is essentially the same thing. And it also is to target misinformation, again, malinformation, which is real information they don't want you to have. And it also says malinformation, including to this primer, malinformation is a deliberate publication of private information for personal or private interest. Isn't that what they do? As well as deliberate manipulation of genuine content. This is often done by moving private or revealing information about an individual taken out of context into the public sphere. Oh, that is exactly what NBC, ABC, Media Matters, The View, and everyone else do every day. But Samantha Power is concerned because people are doing that aren't them.
The interesting thing about all this, Mel, is that in my 59 years of life, this is the first time in the last few years that I've ever heard about the concept of misinformation, malinformation, and disinformation. I mean, it would be called either the truth or facts, or that maybe it's up for debate. But the concept of the state, policing the level of information that we're allowed to consume or distribute based on their needs is it's extraordinary.
And you won't believe this too. They have a 10 types of misinformation and disinformation. Again, I'm going to put this, I don't know if you guys have seen my opposition research. Opposition playbooks on the MelKayShow.com resource page, totally free. head over there. I'm going to put this document right after the show up there as well. But you should probably look at this document and then go back and look at Norm Eisen's Crew and Media Matters Brock's document called Democracy Matters from 2016, because this sounds very similar. And I wouldn't be surprised if the fifth column is involved in writing this. We do know Cass Sunstein, who was Samantha Power's husband, who was the truth minister under Obama, and his lauded law professor, you know, of the nudge theory, Cass Sunstein. He not only was left Obama and then was over there at the World Health Organization running the tactical group on nudging people to get the vaccine during COVID, but he right now is writing for, he is writing the, rewriting the laws at the border for asylum and everything else for Mayorkas. So she's running this operation, Samantha Power, or trying to, you know, influence the rest of the world to do what the American deep state wants. And he's writing the laws that will make the border permanently open, and these people have permanent residence as non-documented American citizens. So these two, Sunstein and Power, are very involved here. But this has 10 types of misinformation and disinformation, which includes satire and parody, Rob. So, you know, that guy that went to jail for the meme, that get ready for that. But false connections, headlines and visuals that don't match, manipulated content, general image information with imagery, misleading content, fabricated content, sponsored content, errors, propaganda, imposter content. Guess what it says here? USAID targets gamers, also pushes need to censor interpretations of the world that differ from mainstream sources. Problematic information more regularly originates from networks or alternative sites and anonymous individuals who've created their own alt media online spaces. Would that be like, I don't know, Rumble and this show? These alternative spaces include message boards, digital distribution platforms, that would be that, and gaming sites. It goes on to say that problematic information more regularly originates from these networks, interpretations of the world that differ from mainstream sources, with individuals contribute their own research to the larger discussion, collectively reviewing and validating each other to create a populist expertise that justifies, shapes, and supports their alternative views. Is that like that the COVID? So anyway, Rob, very disturbing. And I wanted to remind people, when I was reading this, I thought back to something we covered on the show recently, which was in July of 2021, right in our faces, the NSA, the NSA folks is totally accessible. All the data, they've been spying on us. We all know about Edward Snowden. We are all completely surveilled by the fourth branch of government and the fifth column. But I'll tell you right now that the NSA intelligence network is also in partnership, as you know, with the Five Eyes nations. You look at the Tabibi and Schellenberger. We've talked about this many times, but at the whole story about Brennan having people bump the 26 Trump campaign people, including Ben Carson and George Papadopoulos and everyone that was set up for Crossfire Hurricane. But that was the NSA and CIA doing that through their Five Eyes partners. But the NSA teamed up in July of 2021 with Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft, and I believe maybe TikTok. I'm not 100% sure because it's not in the press release, but that's possible. But the NSA, so Big Tech and NSA from that 2021 press release teamed up to monitor all activity in their platforms, identify extremist content, look for expressions of domestic violence extremists, and then put that content details into a database where the Five Eyes intelligence agencies of UK, US, Australia, Canada, New Zealand can access it easily.
That's called predictive policing.
Yeah, basically. So that is something that's been going on for quite a while. So that's not new news, but that should be problematic news for anyone that believes that they're... See, that's why I was saying, Rob, I made a speech the other day and I said, you know, the people of the United States of America, Rob and I talked about this morning. We have accepted or, you know, gone along with the idea that we need to have a government-issued birth certificate, a government-issued driver's license, a government-issued social security card. Beyond that, I don't believe that the government should have access to any of our private data until they get a warrant because they have information and evidence of you committing a crime, which then takes us to the next thing I'm going to talk about. But Rob, remember we talked about this morning? When did it become that the DHS and all of the Patriot Act team and the NSA teamed up with private-public partnerships known as big tech to surveil us on such a massive scale and then not even hide it? And now Samantha Power and USAID, which many people connect to the CIA and National Endowment for Democracy, are putting out a playbook to silence us because we have no right to do our own research or look at our own stuff, and that they're already surveilling us so they know who we are. This is very dangerous times, folks. And Rob, I want you to comment on this because this takes me to something very, very, very important for the American people to pay attention to, which is the renewing of the warrantless surveillance of the 702. Who wants that done and why? Rob, your thoughts about this whole thing I'm talking about right now, the surveillance. The American people right now have no privacy at all. If you pick up your phone, if you go on any social media sites, anything you want, this government is totally out of control, and this intelligence division must be dealt with. And you know what? Donald Trump has that Schedule F, and I don't care what you think of Donald Trump. We need things done. That Schedule F that he wants to turn 20,000 government employees into people that are able to be fired includes a lot of these people, and they really got to go. But this makes me so mad because nobody is free right now in America. You are all guilty until proven innocent at this point. It's not just happening to Donald Trump. It is happening to everyone watching this right now. Go ahead, Rob.
You know, you said guilty until proven innocent, which, yes, I grew up with the idea that you were innocent until we are dealing with an acceleration of technology and capabilities of big tech, government, intelligence that, you know, I guess you could say that, you know, if they were really benevolent, if they were really looking out for us, if they did everything selflessly to support and defend the rights of Americans and you know, citizens worldwide, that we wouldn't be having this conversation. But the reality is they're doing it for self-interest, for their own, quest for power and money and control at the expense of all of those that that aren't in their little club. And this is a very, very dangerous thing. And they're getting very close to kind of completing the loop where they have us in this, you know, this digital gulag. And that digital gulag, and we're walking into it without recognizing that, and we recognize it, and our people that listen to us recognize it. But that's why we have to be so loud and so, you know, righteous and indignant about what this direction that this is going, because we are walking onto and we're not realizing it as a populace.
Yeah, and we have to remember a lot of this, again, goes back to Obama, the Smith-Mont Modernization Act that I've been talking about for 4 years. A lot of more people know about that now. But you know what? These people, they will do anything to keep us dumb, blind, and unaware of what they are doing, which I believe, again. And you know what? I'm going to have to do a part two of this where I talk about Agenda 2030, especially Sustainable Development Goal 16 of Everyone Deserves an ID. These are digital IDs. This is track and trace surveillance on the next level. Like I just told you, the NSA shares this with the Five Eyes nations. This is not a United States program. This is a World Economic Forum program aligned with the United Nations. And one thing we have to discuss, because I'm running out of time, is the warrantless surveillance of FISA. That is an unconstitutional FISA 702 warrantless surveillance that our entire fourth branch, unconstitutional, should be dismantled, fourth branch of intelligence community that has captured all else, would very much like to continue down the road of having a warrantless FISA 702. If everyone remembers, that is how Crossfire Hurricane came to be. These are, the House Intelligence Committee is slated to hear from a series of top national security officials about extending after April 19th, when it's already been extended, when the warrantless surveillance 702s are meant to expire. The people that are backing it are Avril Haines, that was obviously Anthony Blinken's partner at WESEXEC, who is now the Director of National Intelligence, National Director of National Intelligence, born out of course, the Patriot Act. CIA Director Bill Burns, FBI Director Chris Wray, U.S. Cyber Command General, Defense Intelligence Agency Director. They all would like the FISA 702 Warrantless Surveillance Authority to continue past April 19th. There are two different bills there. The House authorization version from the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence that seems to be tightly connected to the fourth branch, unconstitutional fourth branch of government, known as the intelligence agencies, just wants to expand it. They'd like to expand the 702 surveillance authority, not just without a warrant, but extend the authority and how far they can reach. And then there's another 702 by Jim Jordan that would extend the 702 surveillance, but you would have to have a warrant. First and foremost, anything without a warrant in the United States of America should be fully and totally illegal. All of this is done under the guise of protecting us. This is not protecting you. This is not protecting people. And then now that they have our open border, they're going to overwhelm it so much in America, and then make it, you know, because there's so much crime and so much chaos, you know, we have to be able to do this. We have to be able to track and trace and surveil everyone. Everyone now needs a digital ID. Everyone now needs to get on the blockchain. Now we all need to, because of all the money laundering that's done by our government, but it's going to be put on us because all the money that's going around. Now you're going to have the CBDC and the banking global digital ID and all of this stuff on top of that. And again, I firmly believe that this is all part of the United States, who's funding it the most, the Agenda 2030, 17 Sustainable Development Goals to totalitarian track and trace surveillance, top-down communism worldwide. This is all walking us into a digital total track and trace surveillance gulag that will be controlled by global governance, folks. Global governance. The end of nation states is the first part of Agenda 2030. That there are no more nation states, because global problems created by this public-private partnership of the World Economic Forum, the UN, and the NGOs and their partners in the international banking cartel do not believe that nation states should exist. They believe that they should be ruling over all of them, and that is exactly what that is. And I just want to also say that we just saw, the 702s are not supposed to be surveilling Americans, but we know that that has been greatly abused in many, many ways. It also does that thing, Rob, that you were explaining to me about the HOP, which is what they did with Carter Page and Donald Trump and other people, that if you are speaking to somebody that may be a foreign citizen, or I don't know, we have a lot of people in our government that have dual citizenship, then they can then spy on that person. And then it's the next person and the next person. So we have to really understand this, because don't forget that when the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, nobody's ever been in trouble for 2016 to now. So, but Michael Horowitz came in. He said that the NSA database between December 1st of 2020 and November 30th of 2021, that more than 3.4 million search queries into the NSA database took place during that time period, December 2020 and November 30th, 2021, which included the election. So people really have to start to understand. I mean, it included the period after the election is what I'm saying too. So what I'm saying there is that, so we know that those were search queries that were based on authorizations related to the FISA Surveillance Act and 702. So if you go back to Horowitz's report, 30% of the 3.4 million search queries were outside the rules and regulations that govern warrantless searches, that the politically correct government calls non-compliant searches. So he found that 10,000 federal employees had access to conduct searches on the NSA database, a database that contains the electronic data of every single American, including emails, text messages, social media posts, instant messages, direct messages, phone calls, geolocation identifiers, purchases by electronic funds, banking records, any keystroke any American person puts into an electronic device for any reason. This is all in Horowitz's report that many of you remember. This also FBI and DOJ FBI contractors have done more than 1,000 illegal searches in the NSA database. The NSA database is also available to the Five Eyes nations' counterparts. So when they talk about renewing the 702 warrantless surveillance, we really have to, pay attention to what our government is doing and why and who benefits, because this TikTok bill that you're all talking about and everyone's going crazy over, none of this should exist anywhere at any time on any level, not on Google, not on Facebook, not on X Twitter, not on Instagram, not on Gmail, not on your computer, not on your Apple iPhone, not on your Samsung phone, not on any of these phones. But guess what, folks? It does already on all of these platforms. So why TikTok? Why just TikTok? Why not every single one of these platforms be banned from sharing our data, looking at our data, tracking and tracing and surveilling us? Because guess what? It's the NSA that's really doing it. And Snowden's in Russia hiding because he told us that years ago. It's now on steroids and way past the point. And I am telling you that these people that have installed Joe Biden and are running the parent company that runs the United States of America are done with the United States. They want global governance. They are causing order out of chaos everywhere. And guess what that's going to require? A global digital ID that they tried to roll out as a vaccine passport to get everyone on board. It's going to keep going and going until the American people realize that we are not each other's enemy. The enemy is within, and it is in a out of control, privacy violating government that is not living up to anything that we were ever told was supposed to be happening in the United States of America. Our founders never intended for us to be living in a digital dictatorship, which is exactly what's going on in this country. So, Rob, I mean, at this point, the American people really are going to have to do something, because this H.R. 6611 and H.R. 6570 are set to be renewed April 19th. And I'll tell you something else. If we renew that, they're going to have a crossfire hurricane 2.0, because these people are going to start continuing the same thing. And Trump's now the candidate. He's already officially the candidate. They'll just do the same thing again. Why wouldn't they? They're spying on all of us.
You know, the government is supposed to serve the people, we the people. We need, men to stand up, women. We need our children to understand what's going on. We need to take back our sovereignty. We are not children of the state. We do not need a nanny. They're supposed to protect our border and provide some basic critical infrastructure, but they are not supposed to control our speech, the way we think, and what we say. So, if people don't understand this, that's our job, is to help them. And we appreciate everyone who's out there that is standing up, speaking up, showing up, and being part of the solution, because that's the only thing that's going to change this.
I know, but I'm sorry to be so pissed, but I'm telling you, nobody in America right now is not being spied on. I really believe that. And that's by this out of control government. It's not them. It's the public private partnership of the World Economic Forum, the UN, the multinational corporations, the international banking cartel. They are running a parent company above our government. And they control this intelligence branch that is feeding them all of our information. So the TikTok bill, while everyone's freaking out about it, it's so much worse than that. Forget China. I don't want our own government spying on us. And then our government with the NSA allows the Five Eyes nations to also spy on us and spy on their people. And I also want to tell you, there's been a lot of things that have come out. We've talked before about automakers are now recording your driving habits, selling your data to insurance companies. This guy, Ken Dahl, he requested his data from his smart car. And it had, like, every time he drove, how far he went, where he went, how fast he drove, hard braking, sharp accelerations. We're finding out that they're watching video games. They're watching everything that you're doing. They're tracking and tracing, surveilling you. JP Morgan and other banks are starting to launch biometric data. Rob and I couldn't even go through the airport at Palm Beach International without having our faces scanned, which I stayed away from for so long, and they were going to call the police if you didn't do it. So they don't deserve our biometric data or any other data or to track and trace and surveil us, and they are. MasterCard and Visa, I believe, are now involved in this ID 2020 with the Rockefellers and the Gates. So anyway, people, please educate yourself. Please, the MelKayShow.com resource page, it's free. We're going to put up this document. tonight. So go check that out, USAID. Also, please, please look up the 702s, warrantless surveillance. We have to all fight against that. Also, keep an eye on what else is going on. Watching your kids on the games. They're watching your kids in school through artificial intelligence in the classroom and all of this classroom stuff. We have to take back our freedom, but more important, we have to take back our privacy. Our liberty is at stake. Liberty, liberty, liberty is what we are losing. Everyone can look at freedom and think that they're free, but your liberty is stolen. They've stolen your liberty. Privacy is key. And our government has no business. Like I said to you, Rob, earlier, I agreed to get a license. My parents agreed to get a birth certificate, and I agreed to have a Social Security card. That is all they deserve from me. If I commit a crime and they get a warrant and they come and they can knock on my door, they don't have to kick it in as I expect every day. This is out of control. And you know what? Tonight, again, I'm sure we're going to be on the list. But I got to tell you, I don't care. It's a hill worth standing on. But please, everyone out there, be very smart about what you're doing online. None of it is safe and none of it is free. And look, I know all of you love Elon Musk now. I'm not allowed to grow over there on X. Nobody, it's ridiculous, but whatever. I guess they say I'm a legacy ban. Yeah, I didn't get back the Mel Kay show. I don't know how they realized Mel Kay show was me, but I will tell you something. Elon Musk has to tell everyone that this is no longer going on, because in July of 2021, Twitter did sign on with the NSA to be a part of this surveillance group. So if he's the only one not doing it, great, let everyone know. But the rest of them are, and 100%. So TikTok is the least of our problems. We got a lot more problems here. So anyway, Rob, you want to close it down? Sorry to be so emotional, but I cannot believe that this is real and that people in America don't know it. And they're fighting each other and think that there's Republicans and Democrats and left and right. No, this is about America, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and we the people having them.
Yeah, people need to understand. I believe that our audience does. But what we're trying to do is knowledge is the greatest inoculation from this virus of overreach. We must stand, we must be loud, we must be brave, we must be strong, we must be unrelenting in our fight for our basic rights, because when we lose that, we lose everything. People do not understand the stakes of the game. I know that many of you do, but many others don't. Please share that information. Thank you for supporting what we do. Thank you, Mel, for your amazing voice and for being a warrior, a relentless warrior for truth, transparency, and our God-given rights.
Yeah, and thank you so much, everyone that supports the show. We try to do our own thing here. Rob and I are completely and totally independent. We're not part of anything else, and it is only you guys that keep us going. Thank you so much. I read this stuff and I get so mad because I know that I am a target, but so are you.
He really does.
You might not be doing what I'm doing, but I got to tell you, we are all on the same team. I'll just end with this. There was a great guy in South Dakota. In South Carolina. That I think should be every person serving us. And if the people that are in your elections upcoming are not sounding like this guy, then go find this guy in your local community. Run that so that we know that there's good guys out there. And we'll see you next Wednesday or maybe Saturday.
Is for me to not even vote red on the board. Y'all might not know this. A dark money entity that was created on Tuesday, the day after we voted for this, I went home and an attack piece went out in my whole district about the fact that I voted for this. I get that the people in Columbia, that the lobby wants me to either not vote or to vote green on this, but my constituents want me to vote red, and they want their tax money spent on core government functions, on their roads, on their schools. That's what they want their money spent on. They don't want us in here trying to play this government planning thing where we in our bureaus can figure out where the jobs should be, who should be employed, how much money should be allocated where in the private sector. It never works. It's socialism. It's never worked anywhere before. So what are we doing trying to do it here?
But would you consider the fact that South Carolina's track record on bringing major projects into this state has a winning record, and therefore, again, commerce should be listened to rather than those people back in your district that may not have ever brokered a deal, may not understand what it means of being a project, may not understand economic incentives. So what you're suggesting is we should listen to the people back home in your district rather than the people at Commerce that have been successful at bringing these mega deals to South Carolina.
Mr. Rutherford, I don't think that you could have espoused a philosophy that disagrees more fundamentally than me. I completely disagree with you, and I think that you believe what you just said. But no, I 100% am going to listen to the people back home who I represent in this House, and you should listen to the 40,000 people in your area and not the bureaucrats at Commerce, and not the lobbyists, and not the multi-billion dollar international corporations. You should listen to your constituents like I am. So yes, I will always fall back on the common sense of the wonderful people from Taylor's and Greenville Eastside far more than I will ever listen to unelected bureaucrats, other representatives in here who have been here for far too long and have maybe managed a whole lot of these deals, and far more than I will ever listen to any member out there.
So Mr. Morgan, we don't...